from academia, Yale, CHOAT, everything to music. How does music fit in that picture?
I think it fits in only when you take the proper starting point into account. And that starting point is the environment I come from in the city that I come from. Right. And that's Northeast Portland, right off MLK in Alberta. Music has always been a fixture of my life, whether it's my mom playing music around the house.
Let's talk about that. What music did you grow up listening to? What music was played around the house?
Bro, my mom played anything and everything. A lot
Man.
of a ton of jazz, a lot of smooth jazz. She would play gospel music every now and then. She played like R&B, soul, neo soul, funk, even like foreign iterations of those same genres. You know what I mean? There's this group called Les Nubiens. I think they're from like Montreal or something. No, they weren't from Montreal. We listened to them on a road trip. It was the one vacation I went on as a kid. We went to Canada. She drove me
Okay.
up to like Vancouver and
It's beautiful. I've never
oh
been,
my
but I've
God, it's
only heard, yeah.
gorgeous, bro. Yeah, it's gorgeous. You gotta get up there. But that was like the one vacation we went on. And that whole trip, she played this one CD, on repeat by this group called Les Nubiens. Fire. They're definitely not from Canada. But I associate that music with Canada. It's all in French. It's amazing. The short end of it was I was exposed to a ton of stuff, right? We'd be in the car, driving to basketball practice, and I'm listening to the radio. On the radio, I'm hearing really nothing but hip hop, rap, R&B, right? Alternative rock, classic rock, things that I just wasn't exposed to in my day-to-day environment back home. So yeah, I think I stumbled into music first as a listener, right? A lover and somebody who appreciates.
It's filthy, that transition,
Oh
my God.
yeah. That's Erykah
I
Badu's.
know,
Yeah,
man,
man, that's
speaking of the stuff that you grow
Erykah
up on.
Badu's last little project, man. That shit was
Oh,
crazy.
God.
I feel like she built that whole beat out of phone sounds.
I'm sure she did. I'm
Yeah.
absolutely positive she did. She's one of those like transcendent
We are
ones.
right here.
How would you categorize their music? Jazz, but what else? What does it make you feel?
It's particularly soulful and smooth, but this part is the prettiest part. Feels like float in this music. It feels like sun peeking through the blinds and just like rippling across your face and forehead. And this song's called Insomnie, like insomnia. Like she's talking about how she's so madly in love with her partner that it literally keeps her up at night, just dreaming about the beauty of their relationship. I think that's music at its best, when it's able to capture feeling, place, environment, when it's able to capture like the core, like fundamental elements of what it means to be human, what it means to be alive, what it means to be numb, shut down, dead inside. Like music is supposed to capture fundamental elements of humanity. I think this song does that really well.
One of your songs, Grown Man, there's a lot to say about it, but what element of humanity did you attempt or intend for that to capture?
I don't know if you've ever felt down for so long. You finally shake those demons off your shoulder, and the first thing you do is you're like, "Oh my fucking God!" You touch yourself. You feel your shoulder. You're like, "I'm all here. Is my body all here? Am I alive? Oh my God! Like I made it through that." And then you wanna celebrate. There's a certain sense of pride that comes from emerging out the other end of a particularly dark space. So that song for me is just kind of a defiant fuck you to the demons. And I don't mean people, I mean the demons that creep inside your head, those thoughts that keep you trapped in dark spaces. That's what that song is meant to be. Yeah.
What are the demons for you, other than thoughts? What are your biggest demons?
Man, biggest demons. Biggest demons. I would say the things that haunt me most are fear of letting people down, particularly the people that got me to where I'm at. My mother, my grandmother, my girlfriend, my really close friends, my community. I think where I'm from, there are a lot of people who've begun to invest kind of hope in my journey and my trajectory, right? Because where I come from, the vast majority of people don't ever really escape from those circumstances, from that loop. And life really does feel like that, like a loop. So there's nothing that makes us happier than seeing one of our own, you know, to, you know, refer to like the Truman Show, finally like break out of that little loop, that full circuit loop. And I think when you become the person who's broken out, in a certain sense, there's a pressure that comes with having made it out. And that pressure is that the people who are still there are now looking to you to vindicate or validate the fact that this exists as a possibility in the first place. You know what I mean? So letting those people down really, really haunts me. Doing something stupid, fucking up, doing wrong by people, hurting people I care about, neglecting people I care about, losing myself. I think the thread here I'm noticing even as I'm talking is everything's very community-centric, very people-centric, and I think that's indicative of where my head goes first. I'm a very community-centric person, so I think most of my demons inhabit that realm as well. And some of it goes back to what I was talking about with my friend Dustin earlier. Not fulfilling my potential, not working as hard as I can to leave everything I possibly can here on this earth, not contributing to some of the great conversations of our time, and fighting to make the world a fairer, more just, more equitable place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and broadly speaking, feeling like when I'm down, I'll be trapped there for an extended period of time. I think those tend to be the nastiest spaces to be in. Yeah. When you get really depressed, you feel like this shit is inescapable. You start to feel like you don't even want to be here on this earth, period. Yeah, those are the most brutal demons to shake off, because I think whether we admit it or not, when we're trapped in cycles of depression, it's almost similar to what you said about Barack Obama being in the Oval Office. You're like, well, Barack Obama, what does it feel to be president of the United States? He's like, well, this is my operative norm. I'm here every day. What do you mean? I think being trapped in depression could be similar. It becomes part of your day-to-day life, something that you actually get used to, something that to a certain extent becomes a part of you. So shaking that off also means shedding a part of you. It's like a snake shedding its skin. Mm-hmm. You have to leave that skin behind. And I think people really struggle to do that. Just letting go of that part of myself and understanding that the skin I'm wearing on my body is dead, right? And having the courage to trust that under that skin that I'm getting ready to shed, something else exists that's capable of protecting me from the nastiness of the world.
A lot of what I see as something that's necessary to protecting kind of that next level, that new version, that new iteration of yourself, is spending time with just yourself, right? And a part of that is being selfish. You know, I believe that there is certainly a positive way and a necessary way to be selfish. How does that come across for you in finding, in being such a community-oriented or community-rooted person? You know, as rightly so, you should be, right? But how do you, again, find or carve out time? Or what do you think of just being isolated right? Kind of why do you think that's important? Is it important? Do you find that necessary? And how do you go about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I've always had an ability to recognize points at which a great deal of work is going to be necessary for me to get from point A to point B, right? And I think that the most critical period from that leap, or the most critical period of that leap, this leap from point A to point B, is, if you think of it like a slingshot, you know what I mean? Is the winding up of the slingshot. When you pull in that rubber band back as far as you possibly can to gain as much momentum. And we do that because, you know, there's this knowledge that, shit, if I don't pull this damn band back far enough, I'm not going to make it to point B. I'm going to fall through the crack. And there's also this other thought that's like, yo, if I pull this band back far enough, I might make it to point D. Yo, like, I might be, yo, I might be able to skip B and C. I might be able to level up on these niggas real quick. Yeah, yeah. So I think when I get into those head spaces, that's when I tend to cut myself off from the world. I did it relative to hoop, basketball. That was the first thing I did that relative to. It was probably somewhere between my sophomore and junior year. Just basically lived in the gym with my coaches and the people I was training with, right? And that took me from being like pretty good player to somebody who was properly being recruited by major institutions to play basketball, right? That also happened when I was transitioning from basketball to school after I got hurt, and I was like, okay, I need to resuscitate my GPA because otherwise I'm gonna be stuck here, right? Because basketball doesn't seem to be the slingshot anymore, right?
Right.
I need to invest in pulling back a new rubber band, and that rubber band was gonna be my mind, right? So I had to cut myself off from everybody, just really focus on grinding it out academically. Same thing happened. And the same thing's happening right now, right? Where I'm transitioning from academia, politics, to music. Most people start making music, I mean, when they're young. No, you think about Jay-Z, he released Reasonable Doubt when he's 26.
26,
yeah. Kanye put out College Dropout when he was 26, 27. So I'm late to the game. And that means that I have to be meticulous about the way that I pull that band back. And I think sometimes that means being singularly focused on a thing, right? And singular focus is a very isolating thing to participate in.
Yeah.
So I think it's justified. I do think it's selfish, but I think it's justified. It's not always understandable to people, but if people truly love you, they'll understand. And as soon as I let that rubber band go and I'm like in the air again.
Here we go. I'm
like, yo, hey.
Free floating. Let's see.
Let's see where it lands. Let's see where it lands. And I reorient my gaze, right? Now I'm looking around me again, right? Whereas when I'm trying to wind that band back, I'm just looking at how I can tauten that motherfucker as much as possible.
Yep. So in finding space musically, right, to kind of convey or communicate a full scope or full lens of who you are, what does that look like in terms or in relation to the three songs that you released? From song one to song two to song three, how do they all fit together? And what do you hope for an audience to see, hear, discover about you themselves through it?
These three songs that the first three that I put out, they all represent different points along a spectrum. And that spectrum is one of sound, right? One of the first things I learned, I'm telling you, when I first started making music, this is what, about a year ago now, almost a year ago to the day, the first thing I did was not buy a microphone and start rapping. It was, I just devoured YouTube videos on, you know, how artists pave their own lane. Hmm. I looked at people who I thought were incredibly original in the way they approached their craft, right? Kanye West, Travis Scott, Young Thug, Dominic Fike, like dudes who, and people in general, shit, even Amy Winehouse, like people who really took something that existed and bent it in an entirely different direction. Bon Iver, Tame Impala. My goal was to see how do you create a sound, right? So that was the thing I studied. Last year, I got a degree in U.S. history from Oxford. I didn't go to class at all. Man, I really felt like the schooling I did last year was entirely centered around what does it look like to create a sound. So what these three songs represented to me is different points along a sonic spectrum. And as I've progressed, I don't think that they're even necessarily the best songs I could have picked to represent that spectrum, but I feel like that's something I'm trying to now represent through the creation of an entire project. Grown Man is probably the most extreme, kind of stripped down, bare bones embodiment of this sound I'm trying to call like stadium rap, something you would hear in a stadium, like 80,000 people playing and everybody would know every word of the chorus and they could just sing it during a break between, you know, plays in a football game, whether you're talking American football or soccer, more broadly on a global scale, whether you're talking about, you know, a WWE wrestling match, like anything, like I wanted something that people could just defiantly scream to themselves with a smile on their face, you know what I mean? And Bad Idea is the opposite end of that spectrum. It's the softer, more tender side of that same spectrum, but with a certain grit to it. And that grit comes from grunge. It comes from grunge. And then Lose My World, that is probably the most representative of what the sound will be like at its core. Right? You'll have elements of grunge, of rock, elements of hip-hop production, of trap music, and vocals that convey emotion in its rawest, grittiest, and hopefully most uniquely personal way. I want to make music that sounds like me and nobody else. I want to make songs that it feels like nobody else could recreate. And I think that's going to take, I think it'll take time for people to acclimate themselves to that sound. But I think the investment in the sound itself is worth it rather than trying to make something that's going to pop.
Right.
That sound like somebody else and then popping.
And fizzle right quick.
And fizzling real quick because you don't have anything to sustain yourself, right? Yeah. You just riding a wave. The goal here is to try to create a wave.
The long game, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And at the end of it all, what do you want the work to do? To say, I hear you, you know, in terms of the vibe and kind of the sentiment that you want people to feel, but beyond what will be for many people an instant feeling, right? Or hopefully something that transcends time and bend spectrums, as you said. What do you want the work to represent?
I want the work to represent me at wherever I'm at in at a given point in time, right? I think that can be the only goal for the type of music I'm trying to make. I don't think you can make raw music. Doesn't really represent a part of yourself. I think it's difficult to do that in a really good way. So the music should feel cathartic, right? It should feel like getting something off your chest. Sometimes the things that we want to say, either to ourselves or to others, can be really soft and subtle and sensitive. And I hope that through this project, I'll be able to demonstrate, the full spectrum of that sensitivity and of that emotiveness. But the goal, the broader goal through the creation of hopefully a novel sound, is to push the genre forward, is to push music forward is to show people that there's a way of fusing these different, you know, schools of sounds together and creating something new. It's exactly what we talked about when, you know, linking all the way back to the beginning of this conversation, when we spoke about what it was like to pass through a space like Choate or Yale as someone who didn't come from a background that has historically belonged in or been welcomed into those spaces. It's the same thing I said to, you know, all the people I mentor, which is you are at your best when you are most wholly yourself. That's where innovation comes. So the goal here is to blend all those worlds, you know, the bouncing back and forth between the east and the west side of the city in Portland, the hearing jazz and gospel and soul and rap and R&B, but also hearing indie rock and alternative and grunge and classic rock and country, and being able to fuse all those things together, electronic music. That's where I think my utility can be found to the field. That's where I want to make my mark, contributing something to the field. Think of it like academia. You know what I mean? If you're an academic, your goal is to contribute to a conversation, right? Conversation around an idea. Music is just an idea. How am I going to capture this feeling? How am I going to capture this experience? People have different methodologies, different ways of going about it. But everybody who writes on a particular topic, they see themselves as in conversation with the academics who came before them, right? I see myself as in conversation with musicians across all these different schools of sounds. And what I'm trying to do is craft a novel methodology, a novel means of expressing that same thing, yeah? So that people can feel that emotion in a way that they've never felt it before.
Sounds like you're trying to redefine the canon.
Yeah,
in a way, of the genre. But I think in listening to this, and I think this is a perfect place to wrap, and kind of looking at the full lens, the full spectrum of our conversation, in many ways it sounds like where you are now has been informed so much by music. And, you know, to me it sounds like that this is going to be a metaphor, kind of an aggregate metaphor of what your life's work will be once you finish it. What and where do you go from here?
I think there's only one place to go, and that's forward. And oddly enough, in this instance, I think I'm going to have to go forward by looking back. And with respect to this first project, what that means is the project's going to be called Steel Rose. The whole notion obviously ties into my name, this metaphor, you know, Tupac's metaphor of a rose that grew from concrete, you know. Even at our most mangled, there's so much beauty wrapped up in the people that we are. You know, even at rock bottom, there's beauty, so long as you're willing and able to bend the metal in the right way. This project is meant to trace my experience over the course of the past year and a half or so, feeling incredibly isolated, feeling like I'm stepping into an alien world and falling into like one of the darkest places I've ever been in, depression-wise. And then the arc of the project will trace not only my descent into that space, but my ascent out of it. And the thing that pulled me through that, which is love, which was, you know, being lucky enough to stumble into this relationship with my girlfriend, one of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. And yeah, the transformative and healing effect that her love was able to have on me on a personal level and on a relational level. From there, I think my next goal would be to make a project that looks even further back, right? That traces my journey from its earliest point to a lot of the points that we've talked about throughout this conversation. So one of those projects I feel is more biographic. I feel like this first project will, what do they call it? There's a whole phrase for this when you talk about novels. It's like a novel about a time period. Like, I forget the name.
Period piece, no?
A period piece. Uh-huh. This first project will be a period piece. Whereas I feel like I want the second project to be more like a memoir. Hmm. Does that make sense? Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes, man.
When the music hits, right? Yep. Like when it begins to kind of reach and broach that impact. Yep. What would you want to say, right, to yourself now?
Ooh. To be patient. To be patient. I think so often, I mean that in so many senses, yeah. Right? I mean that relative to the music. I mean that relative to my own healing. I mean that relative to my growth. I mean that relative to my relationship, relative to my reconciliation of my past, present, future. Mm-hmm. I mean that relative to literally everything I could think of. Right. But most fundamentally, as it pertains to the music, there's such an urge, especially when you're pivoting from something that has put you on a pedestal in one respect or another. It can be daunting for people in positions like ours or positions like these to jump off that pedestal and enter into another world where you are bottom of the barrel again and you have to climb your way out, right? And I think having climb my way out of a barrel
or three
or three, you know, enough times in my life to be right. Like, yo, fuck, nigga, I am tired of fucking climbing, right? To the point where I literally left the work I was doing because I was sick of that. I was sick of it. My hands felt greasy and gross. And I was like, man, yeah. Right, it really corrodes your spirit. I think there's a rush to, there can be a rush or an impulse to rush through that process of climbing. Okay, how can I calculate out the quickest path yep. to, in this case, fame, like recognition? Like that's not what it's about. Right. And if that's the path that I opted to take, the music would suffer. It would cheapen the caliber of everything I was doing. And it wouldn't be representative of the headspace that I've been in, right? Because that hasn't been something that I fell into and then snapped right mm-hmm. back out of. Even that was something I had to trudge through, like, you know, waist deep mud type trudge through. So I think that I would tell myself that it's okay to trudge through the ascent in the same way, right? That it's okay to go slow and steady. The important thing is to keep stepping. Yeah, and to recognize that journey through the mud, not only will it make your legs stronger, it'll wash off your skin, because that's the thing that lends everything we do its character, right? The mud is what lends everything we do its character. So the thing I would say to myself, you know, if I could look back at the moment when the shit pops, like, yo, don't forget that all of your character, all of your power comes from the stains that you can't wash from your skin.
Beautifully said. Thank you.
Man, thank you. For real, it's been a pleasure.
Likewise.
Stay tuned.
Come test me, tell him I'm game like SB. No shoot, too guard, aim deadly. My brother, he gon' make boy headly. I'm scraped cheese like deadly. Power, kite, compel me. Hey, big bro, got locked in celly. Lil' bro, caught the felly. Hey, for 12, I caught like heli. Bring the ball home already. Ain't no burn on top my belly. But cousin rollin' like Kelly. I don't claim sets, you silly. And he be north of Millie. Chasing first name Vanilli. Ever since kid, like Gilly. Whoa, see the girl face, she feel me. Better not last like Billy. Hey, I got my problems, yo bitch gon' solve 'em.
My bitch, she ballin', that keep the money revolvin'. Smokin' on the ice, sippin' on piss. Nothing is sacred. Come to our family, my niggas get flagrant. We'll make a statement, the bench on pavement. Yeah, and came up on the other side of it, and then I made it out. And I'm right back. Hey, my little nigga all Prometti. Where we from, pink on heavy. Ay, little mom find that sexy. Rose tingle like Plexi. Hey, whiskey kick like Messi. Swimming through my depression. Hey, drowning on my new bezzy. Big move, big movement, no hazy. Big cap, big cap, no bezzy. But I got a high lead degree. Nigga can't slide the same me. Bitch, I'm the liar you claim to be. Yeah, nothing is sacred. That girl lie to your face when she naked. Close a nigga, be the one to be faking. Nah, I'm all alone, locked in this basement. I'm smoking on lies, sipping on piss. I'm falling into a bitch. Yeah, hey, smoking on lies, sipping on piss. I'm falling into a bitch. Yeah, hey, nothing is sacred. Come to our family, my niggas get flagrant. We'll make a statement, bitch on pavement. Yeah, and came up on the other side of it, and then I made it out. And I'm right back. I've been gone for so long that I forgot who I am. Got a blunt in my mouth, book of songs in my hands. Feel like God done hung up, and I can call him again. Smoking on lies, sipping on piss, I'm falling into abyss.